Hello and welcome to Let's Talk Diz, a show that gives you everything you need to know to help make your Disney vacation as magical as can be in just about 20 minutes. I'm your host, Jeff Coviello. With me each week is Disney Master Sandy from Easy Diz by Instant Impressions Travel Services. Sandy, how are you doing today?
Jumbo, Jeff.
Oh, right back at you. Wonderful greeting. Totally appropriate because tonight we're going to talk about the Savor the Savannah at Disney's Animal Kingdom theme park.
I will say for anybody going, why is she covering this? It's not new.
No.
It's not new.
No. Well, it doesn't have to be new. It's new for someone.
It's new for somebody. It was new for me. I've done, as I alluded to in our episode a couple of weeks ago about one of the tours, I've done all the tours in every theme park but Animal Kingdom. And interestingly enough, Animal Kingdom has more tours than anybody else. And so it hasn't been top on my list in the past. I'm not a huge animal fan, but as I've started to do these tours, I've gained a lot more appreciation for the animals, for the caregivers, and for everything going on. So I'm excited to share this tour and what makes it different from our last Savannah tour and what entices people to pick this one.
Well, when we had done the last Savannah tour show, we had talked about how, you know, big time Disney fans, ultimate Disney fans love tours. We've talked about tours in a couple of different shows. What does make this one unique?
This one has food. So I think a lot of people flock to it, and it has alcohol. So
yes, those are two things that people do tend to flock to. I agree with that. Your, you know, present company included, very much so.
But here's the downside to things that include food and alcohol. It does increase the price.
Sure.
This tour is almost twice the cost of the Starlight Safari that I've talked about previously.
Well, let's do that. Let's give the price and then give us the basics as far as what this is, like when it happens.
This tour is $174.
Okay.
Theme park admission is required and not included. So that's a big thing to know. You must have theme park admission. Currently, you must also have a theme park reservation unless you're hopping over there from someplace else. This tour happens twice a day, 3:15 and 4:30. And it is up to 16 people on tour.
All right, so those are the basics. You need the park admission, 3:15, 4:30. It's $174 per person on top of your park admission. Talk to us about once you were there. What happened? What did we do? How did it start? Like, let's just take us on this journey, and then I'll kind of take you with some questions from there.
So I do love that you can book this tour online, either through mydisneyexperience.com or through the app, or of course with your travel advisor.
Sure.
And if you're a big reader, when you book this tour, you kind of check off that little box that you've agreed to all the terms and conditions. And I bring that up because the terms and conditions say very clearly, this tour will happen rain or shine, or mass rain close to flooding. It took me a little bit longer. I did park hop that day. And I have to say, there's a tour desk right outside of the safari. For those of you that have been going to Disney for a long, long time, I'm going to stretch your imagination back to one of the things that I miss most. And they used to have special busing that you could pay for that took you from a backstage area deep within the park over to a backstage area deep within another park. If you ever took that special busing, it's the same exact check-in location. And I went through. Animal Kingdom is the park to me that in the rain floods the most. So literally, pun intended, I was a fish swimming upstream. People were mass exiting as I was trying to make my way through the puddles over there. And I arrived and I was surprised. There is a nice little shelter that we could all stand under. But all these people arrived in the pouring rain without an umbrella, without a poncho. We got a bonus with our $174. Disney graciously handed out ponchos to everybody.
Because that's great.
We were headed out in the rain. And again, As they say on Cali River Rapids, you will get wet. You may get soaked.
All right. So you're in a loading area that you mentioned. Give us the location one more time for folks that maybe are unfamiliar. If they're looking at Kilimanjaro Safari, is it in the same vicinity?
It is. If you're literally about 20 feet from the entrance of Kilimanjaro Safari, on your left, you will see that check-in desk. It's okay. Actually only open certain hours of the day. The rest of the time, they close it up tight. You wouldn't necessarily know it's there, except you're wondering what's behind it. Well, we were on the same savanna as the regular safari guests. We did load from a special platform because we were loading into a special vehicle. So we
talk to me about that vehicle, because we had mentioned when we'd done the other show about the private safari tour, it was a specific vehicle for folks who have been on the Kilimanjaro Safari. You know what that vehicle looks like. So talk to us about that vehicle.
This is either the identical vehicle that I was on, or it's the identical vehicle, but a couple of feet longer because they take a couple of extra people.
Okay.
So it's going to look from the outside similar to a regular safari vehicle, but instead of those rows of seats, you're going to enter from the back, and there's going to be benches around three sides, and everybody sits facing the middle.
Okay.
It is open air. So again, you are open to the elements. It is like a canvas top to it. I will say, word to the wise, the canvas top can only hold so much rain,
right,
till you hit a bump and it all comes down.
Okay. So if you do get hit in the inclement weather, that's what you're dealing with. But it does sound like it's enough of a canvas top that would provide shade from the beating sun had you get a hot day.
It definitely would.
Okay, so let's talk about the actual experience then. How many animals are we seeing? How many species of animals are we seeing? You know, when we had gone back and done our show on the Starlight Safari, which takes place at Animal Kingdom Lodge, Kidani Village, you know, you had given a number of what you had seen. What are we looking at here, you know, in retrospect?
So, interestingly, the number of species is not that many more. We had 33 over on the Kidani Savannah. There are 37 species here.
Okay.
But because of the size, we go from 200 animals like we had at the resort to 300 animals. And they were very quick to say to me, give or take one or two, we have animals being born all the time here.
Very, very true. This is during the day. This is at 3:15 and 4:30, which is in contrast to the other show that we had most recently talked about. So you're seeing things really in daylight.
You're seeing them in daylight. And while we had a private / unique loading area for our Jeep, once we headed out, we were on the same route as all of the other Jeeps were.
Okay.
We didn't take any special roads except one teeny one that I'll talk about in a minute. The big difference here is we did pull over a couple of times. Sorry, people, we blocked you of pictures of the giraffe. I kind of felt really badly. We pull over to the side. Once we're stopped, you are allowed to stand. Again, you're not reaching out and petting animals. They are getting kind of close in some instances, but you're keeping everything inside the vehicle. But you're able to stand and take some photos and really look deep into the habitats and see more. I do think as people were going by and they're going, why are they getting to stop and we're not? Right. And again, I felt bad. We definitely blocked people's view a couple of times, but I guess that's what I get for my $174.
Well, I mean, it's a significant price point. So you mentioned that it includes treats, which is part of the price point. What are the treats? Where are they made? And why are we consuming them? What are we consuming? Give us everything you got.
So this is the one time that we went off the normal path. We were still on a roadway that was preset for us. But if you've done the regular safari, you may notice when you're about 3 to 5 minutes in, if you kind of look to your right, you see this open air kind of wood lean-to platform, shelter, whatever word you want to put there. If you've done it in the afternoon, somewhere between 3:30 and 5:30, you may look over and go, how come there's all these people standing out there?
This is why.
This is why. That is where they've set up a treat for us. So our Jeep pulls in. They've got tables set up with tablecloths for us. There are bathrooms out there for us as well. And then one member of the culinary team walks us through all the food. It's prepared at tiffins, brought over in coolers. And we start with like an appetizer smorgasbord. Fruit and cheese, a fig and almond cake, two kinds of chutney, a cacciatore salad, which is like mozzarella, cheese, tomato, cucumbers, all marinated, hummus and pita bread, shrimp with tandoori spice, lots of fresh fruit, a green chicken curry, some dried beef, and an olive and pickle mix. So some unique things, some more little bland things. If you've got some that aren't big eaters, you can just help yourself to some treats, sit down, and really, I mean, we sat down, and I have to say, though I've never been for real, so I can only judge this based on Hallmark movies, I felt like I was sitting in the middle of the wild. Like, I had a great view of the animals roaming around. They did have binoculars for us if you wanted to get a closer up look. They encouraged us to wave to all the people passing by on the regular safari, wondering why we were so special. You could head over and get a drink. So all over Disney property, you may know that they are famous for what's called their pag juice, pineapple, orange, and guava. So that's the non-alcoholic. They did have a cucumber-infused water for us. And then they had beer and wine. And all of the beer and wine ties into animals in some way. I tried the Tiger Eye Gold, which you can get in the theme park as well. It's a local microbrewery near Orlando, and part of their profits are donated to a tiger reserve. Casa beer was also served, Painted Wolf wine, Game Reserve wine, all of the alcohol donates to different wildlife funds.
Which is a main mission of this theme park. So it's really cool that in this experience, something as very specific as the alcohol served on this tour is also tied back to the mission. Very, very cool. What else did we have for food?
After we got all the way through that, and there was plenty, we did get desserts. And I have to say, you'll see in my photo, it's a very small tray of desserts they present. And again, it can be up to 16 people. And you look at that and you think, my family of four can polish that off pretty easy. And they do say to you, you're going to come up and think these are really small and you're going to want to take one of each. But they are rich and they are filling. Please take one at a time. And if you'd like a second after you're done, you're welcome to one. I will tell you, out of our entire group that was there, I did not know all of them. I think only one person went back because they are filling. They are beautifully done. Kudos to the pastry chefs. There was a deconstructed s'more in this little silver tin. There were fudge pops that were zebra and tiger striped. And then this amazing passion fruit cake. So definitely not a meal in its entirety, but definitely some very filling afternoon treats.
Well, and it just sounds like a cool little twist, right? It's something that is unique. We had asked in the beginning, what makes it unique? That this is what you mentioned. Everybody gets to look at you like you are part of the attraction as you're having these delicious things made from Tiffin's, which is great. You know, when we had done the show previous about the Starlight Safari, I had asked you the question, were there any neat facts you would learn? Anything about the way that they care for the animals, any of the animal specific? So I'm going to ask you the same question. Maybe it's a similar answer, maybe it's a different answer, but any neat facts that you had learned by going on this particular experience?
Most definitely. And I will say that this one had a higher education component to it.
Okay.
We did have people on our Jeeps that were talking us through. But one of the other things is that normally one of the zookeepers comes out and meets you at several of the stops along the way. Because of the truly excessive rain, I limited our photos on our Facebook page to the savannah. You all don't need to see pictures of me in general. You definitely didn't need to see pictures of me that day. I mean, everybody was pretty soaked. So the zookeeper came up while we were eating and spoke to us. And one of the things that she talked a lot about was that zoos have a little bit of a choice whether they want to try and be accredited by the AZA, the American Zoo Association. And I'll be honest, I really didn't know about that. And it's something that I've looked into a little bit more now that I'm home. And it's like many other accreditation programs for whatever thing you want to think of in your life. You have a choice whether you want to be in it, but it's kind of like that good housekeeping seal. So if you're not in it, the question is why. And in many cases, I'm not going to say all cases, but in many cases, it's because you don't pass the standards for accreditation. So I think that's an important thing to know. Less than 10% of the almost 3,000 zoos in our country are accredited.
Wow.
And so there's a lot that they have to do to be accredited. There's a lot that they have to keep up with to be accredited. A big part of that is obviously animal care. But one of the other interesting things they talked about that you are eligible to be part of through the AZA is breeding programs. So they talked about different animals that they have that are close to extinction and how they breed them. And again, there's a bit of control to the breeding. We don't want to have 500 giraffes born on the Disney safari, though my daughter will disagree. They can't keep 500 giraffes. So a lot of times what you'll find in Disney and other zoos is that their population for a specific animal is all male or all female, so that they are not continually breeding, or they're separated. So for instance, when you go over the hippo pond on the regular safari, you come to some hippos on your right, and then there's a second hippo pond on your left. I bet you didn't know that's a bachelor and a bachelorette pad. They are kept separate.
Everybody goes to Disney World for your bachelor and bachelorette parties, including the hippopotamus.
There you go. So they talked about the breeding program, and it was interesting because one of the animals, and I apologize, I don't remember which it was so close to extinction, and they worked on breeding it, that now in American zoos, we have 25% of the population in the world of this African animal, because wow, it's becoming extinct out there, but through the breeding program, they can keep it here. And I think, you know, hopefully you all enjoy my sense of humor. Disney's not up for any custody battles. Because my question was, once the breeding, you know, you bring in a giraffe or a tiger or an elephant, whatever you're bringing in to breed, does that animal stay there for however many months and then go back home? And vice versa, when you lend out one of your animals, does it come home? And the answer is not always. So sometimes that's why that number on the savannah changes.
Sure.
If there's a zoo that needs an elephant, Disney may be giving up an elephant and it's never coming back. But they're only giving them up to other zoos in that accredited program and really working through it. One of the other parts besides the accreditation that all three of our guides spoke about was that Disney money, we all know that when you're in Animal Kingdom, they ask at every register if you want to make a donation.
Right.
And all three of the people that were our guides talked about different programs that they are part of that the money goes to fund. Elephant studies and zebra studies. And they talked about these other nonprofit organizations with such incredible passion and, you know, their love for their work and for the animals and for the good and the future of the animals certainly shine through. You could tell this was not a scripted tour, which was really nice to hear what they had to say. And that they were so open in answering all of our questions.
Sounds tremendous. We're coming to the end of the program. Is there anything that we didn't cover or anything that you'd like to leave the listeners with tonight?
I will say that one of the women that we spoke with, one of my favorite questions to ask people is, tell me your Disney story. How did they connect with Disney? What different roles have they had?
Right.
And what I learned is, you're obviously not going to be the head zoologist, the head zookeeper, if that's not what you've gone to school for. But if this is your passion, you can have a lot to do with the animals. She was telling, I mean, she has no background in animal care, but she was explaining the part of the savannah that she is responsible for. And every day she has about 60 animals that she has to lay eyes on, make sure that they're all safe and accounted for and moving around and doing well. And I'm like, wow, how do you know 60 animals when you've got, you know, 7 rhinos? And she's like, you know, you look at their skin and you look at their horns and you look at who's a fast walker and who's a slow walker, and you really get to know them. And so it was neat to see that Disney really fosters this love of animals and allows people to explore it as a career. It's not, you know, they definitely have their medical staff and they're highly degreed people, but anybody that wants to be part of the conservation and the animal care can get that opportunity.
Well, I really thank you for taking the opportunity to experience the Savor the Savannah tour at Disney's Animal Kingdom theme park. It sounds like a really unique experience, as we had said in the beginning. I think you've done a great job of laying out what makes it unique from the other savannah and safari opportunities that are offered on property, on all properties. So thanks for taking the time tonight and have a great week.
It is my pleasure. I will wish our listeners sunny days at Animal Kingdom and have a great week to you as well.
And that's a wrap this week on Let's Talk Diz. If anyone you know could benefit from this or any show, please share, have them like and subscribe. And don't forget to reach out to the folks at Easy Diz by Instant Impressions Travel Services for any Disney destination planning. Make it a great week. And as always, keep making memories.